This is Electric Sisterhood podcast episode number 150. The brownies were mad crazy delicious. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of our podcast.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
Are you okay?
Are you relaxed? Did you have a good week?
Have you had a good BM lately?
I don't
know. Hey,
really
those can help start off a really bad day.
A crappy
day, in fact.
I was trying to get off the subject before you.
Yep, but I finished it, so let's move on through.
That's what he said. Anyway, I want to make sure that you guys know to keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that are written within the week. If you have any questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. Or if you got some business for us, or you know, that type of stuff, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, check there first. We happen to be there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing weekly on Monday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. While you're there, make sure that you listen to some of the other really fantastic programming over there, like OLR.
Or DPL.
Or Evil Avatar.
Or Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Or Blobby Black Wolf Show.
And don't forget, Friday Night Gaming.
As well as Chatterbox and Ultimate Quest and some other really great stuff. And there are a few new things that are in the pike and maybe possibly some things that are, you know, coming back and looking different. So make sure that you check out allgames.com. And if you do, make sure that you let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you.
If we did.
You know, we like getting credit. And if you're listening to this and then you go over there, then you really should credit your shorts. It's like a bibliography.
Did you just say you should credit your shorts?
I meant to say source, but it came out wrong.
Because I'll credit your shorts.
I have really cute shorts on today, by the way. Some of my leftover swag from E3.
Yeah, rub it in.
What? I tried to get you to hang all the time.
I got sick.
I know, you got sick, you poor little thing. I felt really bad, but I was
blowing chunks.
I felt bad. I was going to stay away from that actual description because I didn't want to, you know, weirding people out.
Think hamburger in a blender.
Okay, stop it. Just stop. Just stop.
Okay, I'm just kidding. There was no hamburger.
Could you please just stop because that's not right. But I guess it would be fair. I'm just going to keep going, people, because she's gone to a really bad place here. And I'm just going to keep rolling.
I'm sorry. I'm done.
I think that it would be fair to call this our E3 wrap-up show. We're going to talk a little bit today about getting through all of our press releases and resources and now going back over notes and thinking about things. How do we still feel about what we saw?
Well, how did you feel about what you saw?
I'm going to start with some of my really cool and I don't know if anybody paid a whole lot of attention to things. Because there were some things that I took a look at and I was really, really impressed with. And a couple of them that happened by accident, which, you know, you gotta love the happy accidents.
Oh, they were to say happy endings, and that was a good
thing. I was gonna go there, but we don't have time to do that podcast.
All right, well then go right ahead, start us off, let's go.
So the first one that I have is Scribblenauts. Scribblenauts is a DS title, and I accidentally wound up getting a demo of it. I talked a little bit about it on the website, and I think I may have mentioned it kind of quickly in the last podcast. Don't blame me if I talked about it at length, because I was still a little tired when we recorded that one. But Scribblenauts is a very interesting game in that it's a nearly open box game on the DS. And when you think about, okay, wait, what are you talking about, open box game? What I mean is, in Scribblenauts, it's basically a puzzler. There is a star on every level that's put someplace on the level, and you have to figure out how to get that star, whether it's
out of wherever it is.
Exactly. So, you know, there may be a puzzle that presents itself to you, like one of the levels I played was you had to get this whale back into the ocean because he had been beached. And what you have to do in Scribblenauts is open up a little notebook page and write down the object that you think your character would need in order to complete whatever the puzzle task is. So for some people, when they did the whale level, they thought of a slingshot and that they would use the slingshot to try and slingshot the whale over. Some of the words that you use, it won't actually interact, but I suggested and wrote forklift, and it created a forklift on the level. And then my character was able to get into the forklift. Well, actually, he pushed it more than the forklift pushed the whale. And then I was able to get the star. And so it was really interesting because there are so many different words that are supported in the game. It really becomes your imagination being your only limitation as far as solving these puzzles in the game. And I kind of like that. And I think that that's very ambitious to try and do on the DS. Now, the graphics aren't like PSP graphics, but it's not designed to be. When you think of literally it just needing to be a puzzler, and the graphics are adorable. I mean, anybody could pick this up. A little kid could play this, and it would be great for them to try to learn words in the dictionary and really do some own critical thinking.
Like O'Reilly Owl?
Kinda.
Lolcats?
No.
Cthulhu?
You could.
Cthulhu actually works in Scribblenauts.
Yeah, it does, actually. I was kind of surprised to hear
and
that.
And so does O'Reilly Owl and Lolcats, which is why I mentioned them all.
Yeah, I didn't try the Lolcats, and I didn't know about O'Reilly Owl. That
yeah, O'Reilly Owl can be used in Scribblenauts.
I just want to know if I can use Sephiroth to solve some kind of puzzle. I don't care what it is.
I think you should actually put in Leet or Pwn. Like, I pwned this, I pwned that, I pwned the star, I win. I wonder if Pwn works.
I don't know, but I want to find out. And multiple languages are supported, so if you are a DS owner...
So we can write Pwn in Japanese?
I don't know exactly what that would look like, but sure.
Well, it depends on if it be in kanji or romaji.
And my kanji is really bad. It's very bad, actually. It's non-existent, that's how bad it is.
That's
but I was
bad.
I was really impressed with Scribblenauts, and I could definitely see it being a game that has or will develop a very large female gamer base because it is a lot of critical thinking, it is a puzzle solver, and it doesn't require a whole lot of button mashing. And so I think that appeals to, you know, your female on the go that's in the middle of a commute or it just needs a little diversion while eating lunch and things like that. I think that it's a perfect pickup game. And I don't know that a lot of people paid attention to it because it was on the back of Warner's booth, and they shared a booth with Codemasters. So if you got to the Warner booth, more than likely you were going to stop at Arkham Asylum and not really pay attention to the fact
Arkham
that...
Arkham Asylum was so good.
It is. It's great. But most people didn't go further than the Batmobile in the Warner booth to realize that Scribblenauts was on the back wall of the Warner booth. With, you know, one lonely guy trying to show it off. He's really sweet. Big ups to you. And so that's definitely one of my... I don't know that it's gotten the right kind of attention or as much attention. Because so many things get overshadowed, like The Lost Guardian. Like, people talked about
it a little bit. That was really pretty. I liked that.
Well, it was gorgeous when the trailer was leaked and it was on YouTube as Project Trico. Okay. It's always been gorgeous. That hasn't been a problem. And then they showed the teaser trailer at Sony's presser, you know, and nobody mentioned when it's coming out. But everybody got caught up in God of War 3, which, don't get me wrong, is a gorgeous game.
Hello, stabbing a minotaur with its horn through its brain.
I'm going to have so much fun playing that
Ripping
game.
Out his insides.
I just disemboweled a minotaur. Yeah, that's how badass I am. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But I think that there were a lot of titles and a lot of little things that were brought out that, you know, we're still not quite getting to. Like your piece on PlayLogic this week on the website. I think that they have a lot of interesting things that are coming down the pike. And I think a lot of it got overshadowed by, you know, the announcement of Metal Gear coming to the Xbox 360, which I don't really think surprised anybody.
I don't think so either, because a lot of the Xbox community has been kind of clamoring for it. We want to play it.
Well,
up the ass right now.
I don't even know how to respond to that. But what I was going to say is, you know, as an Xbox user yourself, I mean, were you really surprised?
No, I've been secretly dreaming about it since I saw it played on a PS3. I said, this needs to come to the Xbox. I'm going to pray about it. And then I didn't, but I dreamt about it, and now it's coming. I'm the only thing I think out of the whole E3 experience that I was still kind of upset about is that there weren't that many 360 games coming out or were, you know, announced that were exclusively for 360. I mean, Sony had, this only can be done on PS3. Only this.
Yeah, but the only thing that they had like that was God of War. And Mag.
Hello. Come on.
What?
But still.
Final Fantasy's on both.
But what about... Come on, spit it out. But like I said, how many things were exclusive for 360? What about Arkham Asylum?
Well, here's the thing about Arkham Asylum.
No. Now, before you go on, let me nip this in the bud. Now, this game was beautiful. I had a great time playing it. But we all know why people want to play this game. Because Batman, he is cool. But everybody wants to play the Joker.
Yes.
I played as Joker at my demo.
Yes.
Loved it. Want to do it again.
Right.
But I can't. Even though it's supposedly coming to the 360, we do not get the privilege to be the Joker. So, fuck that game. Fuck it in the dark, in the Batmobile, with no bat lube.
Oh, you know, how do you even know if one is using bat lube?
Because you'd hear bat noises.
I would hope that you.
And I don't mean Christian Bale either.
Oh boy, Christian Bale. Okay. Does that mean you're done, Batman? All right, let me stop. Let me be fair.
I don't have a spooky permit. that was such a good YouTube thing. I really think you should check it out. Anyway, no. So yeah, now mind you, Batman. It's gonna be an okay game. But the 360 community is not going to be happy that the person that they want to play is the person they can't play.
Well, I mean, you know, the same thing could be said if you look at some of the exclusive content that Rock Band The Beatles is going to get on the 360 that the PS3 isn't going to get.
So,
you know, so, I mean, the All You Need Is Love is an exclusive DLC, and all the proceeds are going to be donated to charity. That's not going to exist on the PS3.
You guys are getting really awesome games, so I don't give a fuck. And you have a 360.
Look,
so you can download it for your 360. I don't want to hear it.
Look.
Nope,
it'll be okay, Panda. Here's the thing. There were a couple of exclusive things for the Xbox 360, but I don't think that they are, you know, titles that drive the console sales. Just like I still think that Sony's kind of missing a killer app to drive its sales. I think that there are more people now that are going to want to pick up a PS3 because they want
like
to
me.
Pick up God of War, and they want to, you know,
play
really
Uncharted,
into...
and they want to play The Last Guardian. Oh, and they want to be the fucking Joker.
Right.
And Prototype, hello.
But here's the thing. You take a look at most of those titles, okay? And many of those are not coming out this year. Many of those titles that you mentioned are 2010 titles.
I don't give a fuck.
And some of them are not holiday 2010 titles.
Oh, okay.
So I think that this coming year,
spit it out.
I'm trying to make this sound
nice.
Yes.
Because you want to be friends with Sony.
I'm trying to put some lipstick on this pig. Because it's not even about being friends with Sony. It's about the gaming community and putting the right spin on how to look at this. Most of the really kick-ass things that Sony is putting together, which no one can say that the lineup that they presented at their presser was not impressive.
Oh my god, Hannah Montana! Woo!
I still want a Lilac PSP, oh my god.
Oh my god, and I saw Jonas Brothers yesterday on Good Morning America.
It just completed your week, didn't it?
Oh my god, man.
Anyway, as I was saying, you cannot argue that their lineup looked great. Meg with the 16, you know, the 8 players on the floor, the 8 player that they showed off during the presser, the potential of the game to actually support 256 players at the same time.
Yeah, but wasn't there talk about it being essentially 16 times 16? Like, you know, smaller platoons versus, like, smaller platoons. I mean, all going on, but not necessarily 256.
Well, right, not 256, like, all engaged in one battle. That
right.
would be platoon. But there would be 256 on the game board playing at the same time, and that those platoons would link up together and be an army, so you may
that is awesome.
You know, call to be support for another platoon that's coming in on another piece of the battle board, so... The potential for that large multiplayer, which hasn't been done before on a console, is really impressive. Whether they pull it off or not, I don't know. But it is impressive, and it is, you know, definitely them trying to think outside of the box and bring new mechanics in and revitalize the brand. And that's a difficult thing to do. So I give credit where credit is due. I don't know if it's too little too late or not. I mean, that's going to be the test. I don't know how many people are dying for that kind of game and that kind of gameplay and that level of interactivity. But I think the more interactivity, the better in any game. I think that the online component is what drives community and can help continue the success of a brand. You know,
right.
You look at the games that don't have that, and their fan base diminishes very quickly versus the fan bases for games that do have some kind of online component. And before anybody starts writing and saying, well, you know, there's a huge fan community for this game and it doesn't have an online component, yes, there are exceptions that prove the rule.
Okay, right, but there's always exceptions to the rule.
There's always exceptions to the rule, and many of those exceptions prove the rule. I'm not saying nay, but what I'm saying is Sony's lineup was impressive.
Agreed.
Microsoft's lineup was very interesting. Pieces of it were impressive. Most of it was interesting. Some of it we got to see how it all develops.
Like, I'd like to see Natal in actual gameplay.
Yeah, I wish that we had actually been able to get in and see Natal instead of being cock-blocked at the booth.
I hate cock blocks.
I don't like being cock blocked.
Me neither.
Makes me limp for the rest of the day.
Especially because if you keep slamming it in, thinking it's going to slip in, of course.
Oh, man. Anyway.
What?
That was a bummer. But.
Bummer, get it?
But there were a lot of things that, you know, I got to see at E3 that I really did not know about, wasn't informed about. But through just happy happenstance, wound up being able to get a booth tour or bump into somebody while they were eating that worked on the project and talk to them. Like, I had actually made an appointment to go see Sega. Sega, you rock,
Sega.
By the way. I've got to hand it to Tali Fisher and her entire PR team. You guys know how to treat people, and we really appreciate it. I was running a little bit late to my product demo of Bayonetta. And they were able to let me hang around and kind of sneak in on a following one. And then at the same time, also let me take a look at AVP and Alpha Protocol. Which,
ooh.
Alpha Protocol was the title that I didn't know much about. I knew a little bit about AVP, and as you could tell from the last podcast and some of the things that I put up on the website, I knew about Bayonetta, and I've been excited about Bayonetta for a while.
Bayonetta,
now.
Bayonetta, Bayonetta, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like Mo Better Butter Bayonetta.
I can't believe you just went there.
I did. Mostly because I needed to get a sip of that. But also because, you know, for me, as we've talked about many times on this show, getting games with lead female characters that aren't just naked for no reason.
She wasn't naked in Bayonetta.
Bayonetta's not naked. This is true. But I'm talking about, in general, female lead characters.
Yeah.
It helps if you listen to the words that I say.
I know. I should start listening.
You should do that. I recommend it. One out of two podcast hosts recommend it.
Yeah, because the other one's not listening.
You got it. Oh, you're quick.
That was funny.
Boy, you. But seriously, you know, female lead characters that have something to offer besides big boobs and outfits that defy the laws of physics are characters that I always am on the lookout for, and when I see them or see a character that hints that maybe she may fall into that category, I want to get all up in there and know about the business. So I got to spend some time with Bayonetta, both on the floor and in the private booth, and I thought it was great. And as I played it, I was like, okay, and the gameplay is really cool, it makes sense, it follows through, it's seamless, and it's over-the-top action all the time, so it looks like it's just going to be a fun pickup game to run around with. They didn't reveal a lot about the story, so I don't know if it's going to be a deep story or not. I think that it'll kind of be in that same Devil May Cry area where it's in between, where there are moments of seriousness, but the game doesn't take itself too awful serious at all.
As long as she doesn't bring out castanets and open up her shirt and do some salsa.
No, but sometimes when she attacks, she has butterfly wings.
Wait, she has butterfly wings?
Well, she's a witch.
Like powerful butterfly wings, or, ooh, I'm a Marnock butterfly.
Like powerful butterfly wings. But they are like monarch wings.
Are you
serious?
And
then there are like attacks.
Like a monarch?
But they're purple and like blue, so they're pretty. But then there are attacks where she'll, you know, do a charge torture thing, and then all of a sudden you'll see this big massive leg come from off screen, and it's actually her leg doing a force kick to a character, and, you know, stuff like that. And I was aware this game have a lot of their assets, and it was just really neat to sit down with it. But the one I didn't know about was Alpha Protocol. And Alpha Protocol seems like it'll be another one of those games that'll be up my alley. And I don't know how many people knew about Alpha Protocol before going in, because I did some searching and I really didn't find a whole lot of press on it. And I don't know if that's just because Sega hadn't really released much and this was kind of their coming out deal for Alpha Protocol, but it definitely had a big presence in their booth.
They're coming out.
They want
the world to know.
Got to let
them show.
I don't know what they're showing. Anyway, have you been drinking my beer?
No,
stop.
I have not.
My beer.
I have not been drinking your beer.
I know you sound like it.
Anyways, I have been drinking your beer.
There you go. That's how I know you've been in my beer. But anyway, the thing about Alpha Protocol is right off the bat when you watch the trailer, it comes off kind of like feeling like a Bourne identity supremacy conspiracy movie feel. There's a lead character, and it looks like he's trying to figure out a way out of a situation. And so he's speaking with some voice in his head, coming up with different scenarios on how to get out of the situation he's in. In the trailer that Sega was showing off on the floor, they basically had this guy sitting on top of a building with a guy hanging upside down by his feet.
Oh, okay. At least it was by his feet.
Yeah. And he was running down scenarios of what happens if he drops the guy, what happens if he takes him as hostage, what happens if he leaves him as a diversion and then tries to rappel off the building, and that kind of thing. But what I like about the game was, as I watched the private demo, I was actually walked through how you can make those different choices and the ripple effect that they actually have throughout the story. So it's not a completely open box title, but it has a lot of open, you know, box or open sandbox characteristics. It is definitely falling in the category of the choose-your-own-adventure things, which...
which I'm all for.
And as you all know, I'm a huge fan of. So every decision that you make affects what the end story will be. And there are lots of different ways that it may end, depending upon the choices that you make. Very much like Heavy Rain, which is coming
out. Oh, I wish I could play that. See?
There's another one. Put that in the PS3 category. But there are all kinds of weapons, all kinds of customization things that you can do. But all of these decisions are set in a way that make you kind of jump on them pretty quickly. Like, you can't sit there and think, okay, so...
Did you just say you have to jump on it really quickly?
I'm not answering that.
You said that!
But you took it to a dirty place.
No, you took it there. You just knew I was going to shine some light on it.
I was hoping that you wouldn't.
You're not going to get away with that.
I was hoping that you didn't listen to me when I told you to listen to me.
Well, see, now I'm listening.
Oh, damn. Anyway, you won't be able to, when presented with a puzzle, just, you know, sit your character in a corner and kind of think it through and think what will happen. Things are a little bit timed, so... as a puzzle presents itself, you pretty much have to do a quick reaction, kind of knee-jerk thing, and then you're committed to that. Which I find really interesting, because you don't really get to cheat your way out of things. It was developed by the Obsidian Entertainment Group, basically the founding guys from that group have worked on it. And so they did things like Knight of the Old Republic 2, Neverwinter Nights 2, Baldur's Gate, you know, those guys.
Right. Gotcha.
So, you know, it's got a really good pedigree. And I was really surprised that I hadn't really heard anything about this thing. But basically, you're this agent, Michael Thornton, and you're sent by the government to kind of figure some shit out. So there is some physical combat to it. There is some action combat to it. So you get to play shoot 'em up. But it's definitely on my list of you should keep your eyes on this thing. So that's one of the ones I got. How about you? What do you got?
I am actually going to talk about a game that, you know, because I opened up the press kit, I've done my checking, and I actually went to their booth and did a little booth visit, and not only saw this game, but saw about 7 others, which are probably just as good. I'm talking about South Peaks, everybody. If you got to go to the event and you went to South Peaks, then you probably know that the big game they were showing off was Section 8, which apparently is being released for the 360 and the PC. They did not talk about PS3 with me, and I didn't even have to tell them. Like, they seemed to already know not to talk about the PS3 with me, because obviously I don't have one. It's a very large-scale, sci-fi, first-person shooter, so I was already blown away. Not to mention there were lines to play. Like, they had 8 different demo things set up on different sides, different colors. There's a red side and a blue side, obviously. And
Red versus blue.
And, you know, at first I was like, oh, okay, this slightly reminds me of, like, Halo meets... No, I guess essentially just Halo. And, not that I have a problem with Halo, because I don't, right. Obviously.
Right.
But it's a huge battle, and I mean huge.
Meaning that it's big.
It's really, really big. And it's between the 8th so Armored Infantry and the Arm of Orin. And it was, and you know, they threw a lot of information at me. So, enough with the little entries, not to mention the model that they had for the cyber suit. It was really smexy.
Did you say smexy?
No.
I think you just did. I did not say smexy. That's what I heard.
Anyway. But, I mean, it's completely player-driven. It's very dynamic. It is, you know, no two games will ever be the same because, like I said, it's completely gamer-driven. You know, player-driven. So I had asked them, you know, what feature of this game would be the thing that they thought their gamer base would like the most. And they called it their burning in. When you zone in. And instead of just spawning somewhere, which, you know, we've all seen, you know,
I hate the spawn points.
Yeah. Well, you don't get that here. You plummet from the sky. essentially, and you burn
as
in.
As if dropped by God?
Well, I mean, you're in space, so I don't know if space believes in religion. But I guess if space did believe in religion, then, yeah, God.
Okay.
So, I mean, so at first you come in zooming, and then all of a sudden you see flames. Like, you're first person, so you don't actually see your body. But eventually, at one point, you get an option to break, which means you get to slow down a little bit. If you break properly, when you land, you can instantly start running. However, if you fuck up, you are stunned for a couple of seconds, and, you know, people can see you burning in from the sky.
Uh-oh.
So if you burn in wrong and they know you're stunned, you are an easy kill.
I'm gonna be so fucked.
I suspect that a lot of players who play this game will sit there and just camp failed burn-ins.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention one of the little side parts about the whole burning-in is that they actually made an achievement that I actually achieved when I did my demo. It was the first game that I demoed over from South Peaks. And if you burn in and you land on a player, you instantly kill that player.
Nice.
So I anticipate that a lot of people will also not only love this achievement, but will aim to kill people in that fashion only.
Did they show you how much points that you get for making that achievement?
No.
Or did it just say achievement unlocked?
It just, yeah.
Pussies, it better not just be 10 points, because that would take some talent.
No, because that takes talent, because, I mean, you only get, you know, you burn in, and then eventually it will give you an option to start breaking. I mean, and then after you break, you start to slow down, but you can, in fact, kind of move. You can position yourself. So, I mean, you have a little bit of time before you'll fully land. So, I mean, the burn-in person has a better chance of killing, you know, the person that they want to land on versus them fucking up and being stunned and then being shot in the back of the head.
So, basically, a way to kind of combat those people that may try to camp out.
Exactly.
And look for the burn-in folks of, well, if you're hanging around, if they land on you, you're kind of fucked.
So, I mean,
I like that mechanic. That sounds really interesting.
It was very pretty. It was very pretty. I really liked it. Other features that were going on in the game, you know, obviously there's single-player campaigns. There's multiplayer online or instant action for all the multiplayer maps against very competitive AI. The AI are not stupid.
That's good. I don't really like dumb
AI. Let me see what else. I already talked about the burn-in. There is, let's see, the vehicle and deployable requisition can be delivered anywhere on the map. So say I burn in, I'm blue, you're red, and I decide that I you know, you can burn in wherever you want. You can burn yourself straight into the enemy lair if you want to. It's not recommended. But you could do it if you're ballsy like that. But say I spawn in my little blue area and I'm happy and I decide that I want to take a tank and just run all you bitches over. I can call for a tank. A tank will show up. I will be able to use that tank to take you out.
Tanks for the memories.
Yeah. Exactly. And I like that because, you know, during the demo, he was like, hey, do you want a ride? And I'm like, I would love a ride. So they called me a tank, and like 2 seconds later, it just dropped.
Did he know when you said that you would like a ride that you were talking about the Smexy guy?
Ha, you're funny.
I am.
No,
hysterical.
He didn't.
Because you
But anyway, since I've been growing more and more fond of first-person shooters, when I was playing this, you know, it's easy to pick up anyone who has played a first-person shooter and or Halo. We'll essentially get the controller down really fast. It is really fun. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, That was the really big game from South Peaks. So they had some other things that I'll write about on the site. And like I said, I'm kind of glad that they didn't mention Sony once. Really kind of glad. Very happy about that. Good job, South Peak guys. Yeah, double thumbs up. Not that you could see it, but you know I'm doing it. Okay. You know I'm doing it.
Okay. All right. I know you're doing it.
You know I'm doing it.
All right. And another one that I wanted to talk about, and this was one that, I'll be honest, I didn't know that was going on either, was a game from Square called Nier.
I saw pictures from Nier.
And then you saw them from far.
very funny. I don't know, but so his weapon made me think of Cloud's weapon, sort of.
Well, seeing as how it's a Square Enix game, that sort of
That's not
sense.
Surprising.
I mean, you know, if we're going to go there and all. But Square, for being very quiet over the last couple years, if you think about it, we now can see why, because they've been working on fucking everything. Final Fantasy 13, the three flavors of that, Final Fantasy 14, which is an online deal, and then a bunch of DS games, reversionings of Final Fantasies, like Final Fantasy 4, Final Fantasy 7 on the DS, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Time as a Dark Lord, Final Fantasy, ooh, there's a couch, Final Fantasy, hey, have you seen it on my couch, and Nier. Oh, yeah, and I forgot, Kingdom Hearts 358.
Yeah, over 2 days.
Over 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, let's talk about Nier.
All right, talk about Nier.
And the reason why I want to talk about Nier is because I don't know how many people have talked about it, but it's one of those rare Square Enix games that is not an RPG.
Ooh.
It's an action...
There is nothing wrong with RPGs.
I know, but it seems like Square only knows how to do RPGs.
Well, they do them really well.
They do. They make great cinematics. I have never said that they didn't.
But?
This one's an action-adventure game. So this one's right up my alley.
I did not make the joke. Please continue.
All right. So the game is developed by Kavya. And what's interesting about it is that you take over the role of the character Nier, who is trying to find a cure for his kid, who's infected with this disease called the Black Scrawl virus. There's this mistress, magical kind of book that's involved, and you meet some people along the way, so keeping up with the typical Square Enix plot-driving mechanisms, Nier's basically a warrior, and I agree, his weapon reminds me a whole lot of Cloud's weapon. I mean, and don't get me wrong, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, Square Enix... Squeenix has made some great-looking characters and some great-looking models and weapons. So, you know, a big-ass sword, who's not gonna enjoy that? Especially when you're the guy that gets...
I love big swords.
I'm not gonna make the comment that goes along with that.
And Aeons.
Aeons are good.
But Aeons the shit.
But there are no Aeons in this game.
Treasure Hunters are the crappy.
Yeah, no Aeons. But, basically... the community has been infected with this virus. It's pulling families apart, pulling people apart. It's really, really sad. And you know how Square Enix tells sad stories. So imagine that there's going to be some heart-wrenching, heartbreaking thing that happens because it's a Square Enix thing. But you get to fight a big bunch of monsters, smaller AI. So it takes all of the battle mechanisms out of Square's more well-known RPG titles and brings it to, like I've been asking for the last few years, an action genre, so that those of us that don't like to go, okay, what do I want to do? Attack. Which type of attack? Hold on, let me get down into that menu. Okay, let me pick this attack. But hold on, let me pick a backup. My backup's going to be defense. And let me pick a third backup, just in case that doesn't work. And I'll make that my healing thing so I can heal myself if nothing else happens. And then, hold on, let me tell my other three people in the party what to do. And let's make sure we can take out this monster. Oh no, wait, this person needs to be healed. So I'm going to have to devote my attack thing that I'm really going to need to heal this. Yeah, or I could just hit you with my sword.
I know, there is a lot of debate, like, oh no, should I use this attack? Yeah, I get you. All right, I understand. An actual battle, there is no way a warrior could sit there and debate what attack would be the most strategic because the...
Warrior go smash!
Shoot them in the face.
Warrior go smash!
Yeah.
Talk later, smash now.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how I like to play. So I'm really looking forward to playing this game. The character looks very gruff, very haggard, very rough. kind of reminds me of...
Like a dark past, like a dark hero.
Yeah, very much a dark hero. That's what I get out of Nier. And so that excites me because I love Square Enix's stuff. I love the look. Their aesthetic is phenomenal. I've always enjoyed their storytelling elements. I just, for the majority of the games that they've come out with, I don't enjoy their gameplay. But Nier is one that I think I can get behind. So I'm very, very excited about it. And I'm kind of surprised that more people aren't talking about it.
Mm.
Because people know about it. It's there. You can even find it on their internet site.
Mm.
So that was another one that was on my list. What about you?
Well... Let me see.
I mean, because the easy ones to go for and talk about in the wrap-up are, you know, Nintendo...
Well, I don't want to talk about all the big ones, obviously, because we already talked about those. So I guess I could actually even talk about another South Peak one that I actually will probably get for my DSi, because, as we all know, I semi-recently got one.
Kinda, sorta.
And...
It's a long story.
I will admit... For some strange reason, I had had a desire to play Cooking Mama. I will admit it. Whatever. You could chew me out about it later.
I'm not chewing you out. I'm not.
Yeah, but I know you're thinking.
I'm not thinking about it.
It's okay if you are.
But I'm not.
But anyway, so you know when I told him that I just the guy who gave me my demo that I just got a DSi and. I kind of had this weird sensation to play that. He had shown me two games that kind of had the same kind of feel. And yes, they both deal with food.
Mm-hmm.
One of them looked far more anime-ish to me, so of course I was more drawn to it than the other one. And the one I'm going to talk about, I guess I'll talk about, is Fast Food Panic. And Essentially, your character has a restaurant, and it's up to you to, obviously, say hi to your customers... Run rats and mice out of your restaurant.
No rat infestations.
Make food, the correct food that your people want, and get them all out at a time. Now, obviously, with the different levels and whatnot of difficulty, these can go really fast or really slow.
I just want somebody to bring Burger Time to the DS. That's all I want.
Well, you actually make burgers in this.
I know, but I want Burger Time on the DS. But please continue.
But anyway, you know, it's meant to come out in fall of 2009. So all of you guys, all of you little kids and you parents out there who have been looking for another game that, you know, you won't be ashamed to let your kids play. This was really fun. You know, and I love my first-person shooters. I love my action survival horrors. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I just want satisfaction. And sometimes that can be...
Sorry, I'm
that
okay.
That can be had... With a very small device. It doesn't...
Oh, my God.
It doesn't. What?
Nothing.
It's true.
Okay.
But anyway, not only is Fast Food Panic going to be released for the DS or DSi, but it's also for the Wii. I played it on both consoles, and I actually found it to be a lot more hard, or I found it to be more difficult. There you go. On the Wii versus the DS, which is why I'm leaning towards getting the DS version... over the Wii. Granted, the controls are not that hard, but, you know, when you're picking up a pace, there's so many things that you have to do in a given amount of time, because it's not like it's open world and you have however long to get it all done. People will keep coming in, and you want to get the best grade or amount of points possible in order to advance to the next stage, which is, obviously, you get more recipes, you get more customers, you got more things going on all around you. I mean, you definitely feel a rush, which I liked. This is definitely something that you could give your kids if you're going on a very long car ride.
Okay.
You know, and you don't have to worry about them, like, no offense to Rhythm Heaven, but, you know, the several of those games that require you to, you know, make sound or whatnot. I mean, it's quiet. You could totally put headphones on your kids. They will never say a word, but, you know, at the same time... Adults would probably swear up a wazoo when they fucked up.
Right. Got you.
I mean, it can appeal to a bigger or an older gamer fan base as opposed to just being aimed at children.
Gotcha.
Not to mention, who knows? Kids might want to cook someday thanks to their DSi.
Now, let me ask you a question, because I think that it's really interesting the way that you talk about this game. And if you take a look at some of the entertainment trends right now, there's a lot of that stuff that's being designed to appeal to both parents and children.
Yes.
You know, like your feature-length films. I mean, you take a look at the summer films, you know, Up, definitely.
I know. I heard some good things about Up.
It's really enjoyable, but definitely not a lot of the story can be got by kids. It's definitely a very mature subject.
Right.
And you see that happening more and more both on the feature-length film side of things as well as the video game play. Like, there's no denying, if you take a look, really, at Nintendo's presser, their stuff is designed to appeal to kids first and then hopefully not be too kiddy enough to get parents to play along with their kids. They seem to be very happy to go after that family group.
There is nothing wrong with going after the family group.
Well, and you take a look at some of the stuff that Microsoft and Sony are even doing, and they're doing the same thing. They're going after that same group with some of their games. I mean, like 1 versus 100.
I know. I saw the banner go up on Xbox Live a couple of days ago, and a lot of people have been eating that up.
Yeah, me too. And I haven't gotten into the mob yet once, but that's okay. I'm working on it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you look at that, and, you know, that's just great multiplayer, no hassle, no frill, you know, not having to worry about inappropriate content that can appeal to a lot of people on a lot of levels. I think that the casual gamer is now being reached to, or at least is being thought of.
Right.
By
I think so
people.
Too. Well, because obviously, you know, it's a business. The gaming industry is a business. They want to keep their revenues up. This makes sense. So, like, I mean, now granted, out of all the pressers that week, Nintendo's was probably
the more least likely to put you to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, even though they had some really great things to say and had things to offer, I thought, yeah, it was a little tiring at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning. But besides that, you know, they made a very strong point that, you know, they already know who will definitely stay gamers. And we already know who the no's are. So why not work in that realm of the maybe?
And the realm of the maybe is a good area.
Yeah. And, I mean, a lot of the maybes are possibly semi-casual people who sometimes play games in certain situations, but then don't in others.
Yeah, but here's my problem with the way that Nintendo's thinking about the maybes. The maybes are not the people to play Girls Time or Fashion Mode.
Oh my god, I know.
Style, whatever.
Style savvy.
Thank you. No, Nintendo. Bad Nintendo, go sit in the corner.
I know, because I know all the casual gamers that I know want to get a vitality sensor because they don't know how they're feeling.
I am often asking myself, am I tired right now, or
Let me plug up to my Wii.
Am I angry? Hold on. Let me connect myself to my vitality sensor so my Wii can tell me that I'm messed up and I should play some Zelda. Oh, wait. But I had to wait until after the press conference to find out about the new Zelda game.
I know. That was pretty depressing.
You know,
But anyway, I mean, yeah, all right. So they didn't fully grasp the concept of the power of the maybes.
No,
that's
but they
okay.
got
a lot of people underestimate.
But they got some of it. I mean, the new Super Mario game definitely reaches to that maybe group.
Right.
2-3 people chilling out in the living room, playing a Super Mario Bros. Level, and whoever gets the most points is the awesome. And oh yeah, you can play against each other a little bit, or you can play with each other a little bit, so it gives you the dynamic for setting up teams or not, and trading loyalties, and, you know, trash-talking a little bit with your older group. Yeah, they get it with that.
Yes, they do.
But they miss the mark on so many other things. I was really surprised. I'm not gonna lie.
But I'm just saying, the idea that, you know, now the industry is not completely focusing on its already dedicated yeses and nos, but now they're looking for that casual gamer, and they're looking to, you know, obviously wow the veterans try to entice, though fail at the nos, but take it down a notch for the casual so that they don't feel like, oh man, I can't do this because I'm not a polished gamer and I don't have super buff thumbs.
Exactly. I'm all for it being inclusive and not exclusive.
Exactly.
And I think that this year, definitely the message came across from everybody that showed on the floor of being inclusive and not exclusive, which I think is great. I mean,
except for PS3, because only certain things can be done with the PS3.
But that's not Sony being exclusive as far as excluding a set of people that game.
Yes, they are. People who don't have enough money to buy the system.
That's not Sony's problem. Get another job. Wada-san said get another job. Well, you'd have to get a first job.
You know what? I am so sick of the job jokes.
Well, I mean,
drop it already. Not funny.
Actually,
no, it's not funny.
Actually, it's funny.
No, it's not even funny. Please keep going.
But I think that the summer and especially this fall will be the meter mark. There are a lot of really great independent games, up-and-coming games, and add-on packs that I think you're going to see start establishing brand and really carrying brand across. You know, look at Grand Theft Auto. And Grand Theft Auto, for the longest time, was only available on the PlayStation system. Then they moved to the new consoles. They came out on more than one console. And now DLC has been going through the roof for them on multiple platforms.
Agreed.
I think that in order to be very successful, companies need to come up with a singular killer app, a brand that they're not going to let go of, that will sell their console. And they need to make it easier for developers to create great content on their platforms. I don't think that God of War 3 is going to be the killer app for the PlayStation 3. I don't think Home is going to be the killer app for PlayStation 3. Mm. I think if you bundle things like God of War 3, Prototype, Home.
Oh, please don't talk about bundling.
Little Big Planet. Then you've got something and a price drop. Oh, did I mention the price drop? Because there needs to be a price drop. I think then you have that going into holiday. You can do some bang-up business and be more invited and inclusive to your platform.
Right.
Okay, the thing that's keeping you out of a PS3 isn't its price as much as it's you're being able to get the scratch together to pay it.
Right.
Because if you had a job, you'd sock away the money and you'd get one. So regardless of whether that was $2.99 today, $1.99, or $99, you would put the scratch together and you would purchase it because there's enough content on the platform that you want to play. So the price really isn't as big of a barrier. But if you bring that down even more, then you get those people that are on the fence. You make it easier for them to say maybe than no.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of the console makers miss the boat. Make it easier to say maybe. Because right now it's too easy to say no. You ain't got a job?
Can't buy
PS3.
Yeah, good point. That's a very good point.
You know, I've got to now pick between buying a cheaper Xbox 360, a cheaper Wii system, buying one used from, you know, like a GameStop or something like that, that fits within my means, that makes it easier for me to say, okay. Sony's price right now prohibits you from saying, okay. And the same thing goes for me on the PSP Go. I love the idea of the PSP Go. The price point makes you go, nope.
I know. I was so surprised that they didn't announce that slightly cheaper
than. As soon as they said, and we're going to release it for the same prices as we released the first PSP, I went, well, clap, clap, clap. I'm done with that one.
I know.
Because until it comes down to being around the price of my DSi, I'm not going to pick one up. There's not a big incentive for me. Gran Turismo, as a downloadable game, is not an incentive enough for me to pick up a PlayStation Go, which has a slightly smaller screen, than my current PSP.
Mm.
I think that it's a mistake.
It is, but when has Sony not made mistakes?
They got a couple of things sort of right.
They have a very, they're very strong, but Everybody makes mistakes.
True. So the last one I want to get to, and then I guess we can start doing some shout-outs and wrap this puppy up, is a Lord of the Rings game.
I'm surprised that you'd even bring that up.
Yeah! Here's the thing. Another one of those things that I accidentally kind of backed into, literally. Again, at the Warner booth, they have a Aragorn's Tales game.
Yeah, I saw the little setup for that.
And they are releasing it, and the game is being done by two different developers on two platforms. It's coming out on the Wii and also on the DS. The styles are very similar. But what I like about the Wii version is that there is two-player, so it can be cooperative. And it is cooperative in that it is very much like the party mentality out of an RPG game, without having to assign things to people. So it is a platformer in that there are puzzles and you have to figure out how to get from point A to point B on the level. So it has some puzzle-solving elements to it. But you can basically play through this story. And the game is set as these tales being told to Aragorn's children, and you're playing through the game. And you play Gandalf as the supporting character. And what's interesting is that as a supporting character, you don't really have to focus so much on movement. Because as Aragorn moves, you'll be pulled along with him. The whole party will. What I like is that your main focus is just to simply aim and help him take out opponents. So it makes it very easy for anybody to pick up and play and be your support, and can even heal you at times if necessary. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. I got to play the support character, and I think we played the demo together for about 15 minutes, and I was really having a good time checking out the graphics, the speed of the game. You know, everybody looks like little hobbits, which is, you know, cute. Little chibi kind of versions of themselves, which is interesting. But the gameplay was really fluid, and I found myself not thinking that the game was hard, but thinking that, yep, this is a challenge because I have to change how I would think about just going in and doing this attack. So I think that it's one of those games that parents could play with their kids and, you know, not have to worry about their kids going out and wanting to mimic what's in the game, but also just have fun. And if anybody in that group is a Lord of the Rings fan, I think it falls in really well with it. So I have to say that overall, I was really impressed with what Sega and Codemasters brought to E3. I was pretty impressed with what Microsoft and Sony brought on the floor. And there wasn't a spot where you could turn around and not hit a game that was coming out on a Sony platform or on the Microsoft platform that didn't just look great or intriguing some little bit. I wish I could say something about Assassin's Creed 2, but we got cock-blocked there, so I can't really talk too much about that.
I'm worried that it'll be more repetitive, myself, personally.
Assassins?
Yeah. I mean, like, when we saw the demo, it looked stunning. But, I mean, in terms of what they were showing us, that, oh, it'll be different because now you'll have Da Vinci making you stuff and you'll have a flying machine. But that didn't answer the question of if the gameplay and the stories and your targets were all essentially going to be the same type of
The targets deal. Are not going to be the same, because as they, you know, went through and they showed off, you know, the flying machine and how you could set it on fire and use it as a distraction, and, you know, showing you that AI is different, so you don't get to hide in hay bales anymore. You know, just jumping in a pile of hay doesn't make you invisible to any character standing around you anymore, which drove me nuts in the first game. I do like that it is a continuation from where the last one left off, of delving into and trying to get to this secret that is in this guy's family head. History and in his head, locked away someplace, that they really, really so desperately want to get to. So
I hope it's worthwhile, because I'd be a little disappointed if it was like, you know, the combination to an ancient safe or, and it has nothing in it.
Because
something.
It's all turned to dust by now. And
yeah, exactly.
Before it was supposed to be like a parchment that, like, you know, held the key to the universe or some shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I agree. But I'm interested in that. The mechanic, I can almost assure you that the mechanic's going to be the same, because there's no way that you could turn a game around this fast if you rebuild the entire mechanic. So the length of time between a game and its sequel tells you whether or not they've massively changed the game mechanics or not. So I'm going to go with no. Same base mechanic, but if the story is different and engaging, I don't think that anybody's really going to notice.
Well, I mean, no offense, but, like, in the gameplay that they showed, you know, he did still kind of stick out, even in the Renaissance.
Well, I mean, you know, he's wearing all white and has a hood on, and,
Last time I checked, guys who were all white with hoods stood out.
Well, unless you're at the Vatican.
Well, yeah, good point, the Vatican.
You know, then it's just like, I don't know which one molested me. They're all wearing the same thing.
You have all of them in a lineup. Have them saying sermons. Like, which one is it?
I don't know. They all sound the same. It's like they're speaking Latin. So, as far as the post E3 wrap-up goes, we definitely had a great time. There was a lot of information, guys. We're still going through stuff. You're going to see a smattering of things on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. That we're going to still be going through this summer. I mean, I haven't got through all of my stuff from Ubisoft yet.
Me neither, and I'm still up to my wah in articles that I've started, stopped.
Yeah.
Fight me.
So
I'm working on it.
Be on the lookout. We're going to have some more photo galleries because I think I finally got everything sorted out in my organization app. So there's going to be a lot more photo galleries coming up in the next couple of weeks or so of stuff that we saw, different events that we've gone to, and things like that. We will not be at PAX, but that's
okay. We will
okay.
not be at PAX Seattle, but I will probably be at PAX East.
We will both be at PAX East next year. Ha 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 ha.
PAX 10.
But here's what to look forward to in the next few weeks. We will be talking about games like Wet from Bethesda.
And Fairy Tail Fights from PlayLogic.
We will most definitely talk about what we know about the Metal Gear games coming next year to both the PSP.
And probably stuff about Final Fantasy 14, since, you know.
Or 13, or 7, or 4, or Crystal Chronicles. Or Crystal Chronicles when I was a Dark Lord. Or when I was a Sith. I can't even keep track anymore.
And I will also be talking about Kingdom Hearts. For a particular fan who was hoping that somebody would talk about it and play some. And I have done that. So look for that article, Ariel. It's coming.
Name drop city. Speaking of which, let's do some name dropping before we're out of here.
Oh, I don't want to, but you go right ahead.
Oh, you know you want to. Participate. Don't hate.
I don't want to participate. No.
Make you. Go sit in the corner.
Fine.
So before we're out of here, I just want to thank a bunch of people for, one, stopping by on the podcast, taking some time talking with us, and more importantly, help us get into some stuff that we probably normally would not have been able to get into. So to the entire Harmonix crew, who I think you actually flew back to Boston with.
Yeah, and with.
I think that's what I just... Oh, yeah, and with.
You said two.
Yeah, back to Boston.
Back to, and I flew out from Boston to L.A.
With.
Yes.
Yeah.
Caleb, I hope you're listening. I really do, because you were awesome.
And everybody at Reverb PR, we thank you for the time, letting us pretty much stop in the booth whenever we wanted to play the game and eat those awesome brownies. You guys were awesome.
I know, those were awesome.
They were mad, crazy, delicious.
They were.
So thank you for that. Also, like I said, to the Sega PR team, headed up by Tali Fisher, we really appreciate, or at least I do, letting a late out-of-bed mofo still get her time in and her interviews and see some things that she wasn't supposed to see. That was awesome. To the All Games crew for finding us every day and making sure that we had rides such that we did not go broke during the
yes.
week.
Thank you, All Games people. I heart you.
You were going to say something there at the end and you stopped yourself.
No, I didn't.
I heard it.
I heart you guys.
I heart you guys too. So with that, make sure that you check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce it to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you have some business for us, you can email us at fresh@electricsisterhood.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we are also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of the Electric Sisterhood podcast on iTunes by searching for us in the iTunes podcast directory, like Panda said, or find our episodes airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, where our shows air on Monday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. And make sure that while you're listening to our show, you think about listening to some of the other great entertainment that you can find over there, like DPL.
Or, oh, you said DPL, or Super Happy Fun Time Show.
Evil Avatar.
Video Game Outsiders Are Okay.
Chatterbox.
And don't forget Bobby Blackwolf's show and Friday Night Gaming.
Even Ultimate Quest is over there. So make sure that you take a listen to some of the other really, really fun stuff on the network. And like I said before, if you do, make sure and let them know that we sent you over there.
Because we like credit.
I do. I like credit. I prefer it to cash. I like having a paper trail.
See, I like credit cards.
Yes, well, we know why. But anyway.
Haha, very funny.
That being said, I think we're going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah, it's pretty toasty.
So what are you going to do with your toast?
I'm just going to eat it.
Okay, that's fine. You can.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to take my toast and I think.
Actually, you know what? Never mind.
Oh, here we
go. I'm going to burn in on my toast.
Achievement. You're going to burn in and get the achievement?
Yep, I'm going to get dropped from the heavens and burn in with toast. And hopefully kill someone with my lethal burned-in toast.
Okay. Right. That's one thing that you could do with your toast.
All right, what are you doing with your toast?
I think I'm going to take mine and I'm going to grill it in a cast iron skillet.
Ooh, you had to rhyme there.
I didn't have to.
But you did.
It sort of just came out that way. But I'm going to go all garlic toasty on it. And then I'm going to use it and put it in my face hole because it'll be delicious.
You have several face holes.
I'm going to put it in the one with teeth.
Oh.
So I All right. can eat it? I don't right. understand.
Well, noses are deadly, too. Noses
Dude,
can have
if
teeth.
If I put garlic toast straight up my nose, I wouldn't be able to participate in next week's podcast. And neither would you guys. So, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here, guys.
Bye.
Peace in the East.
And it was, and you know, they threw a lot of information at me. So, enough with the little entries, not to mention the model that they had for the cyber suit was really smexy.
Did you say smexy?
No.
I think you just did. I did not say smexy. That's what I
anyway.
Heard.
Anyway. The model that they had for the cyber suit was really smexy. The model that they had for the cyber suit was really smexy. The model that they had for the cyber suit was really smexy. The model that they had for the cyber suit was really smexy. Exactly. And I like that because, you know, during the demo, he was like, hey, do you want a ride? I'm like, I would love a ride. So they called me a tank, and like 2 seconds later, it just dropped.
Did he know when you said that you would like a ride that you were talking about the smexy guy?
Ha ha ha, you're funny.
I am.
No, he didn't.
Because you
But
were.